way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Just make sure we get our money. We don't do this for free.
They know who I am.
Yeah, but that's what worries me. Oh, that Aaron, he's so polite. He won't mind if we slow pay.
What's he going to do, call and chew us out?
I think they're good for it. I think they're good for it.
All right. I think so, too, and we appreciated having Coleman on, but here we are. It's show
new
number
month.
New month, show number 13. We welcome you to Dutch by Association. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. Along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese. I changed it up, so Mitch, you're up.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I was ready. today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. Keep your kids ready for school in person or online with the latest technology from Super High Tech. Laptops, desktops, tablets, phones, and more. Super High Tech, located in Shelton, Orange City, and Sioux Center, and on the web at super-ht.com.
Wow, that
was good.
Those broadcasting classes really paying off.
The DBA podcast is also brought to you by... But here's the deal. Some love us. I would say all. Some don't love us.
I wrote some hate us.
Some hate us. Hate's
that's
a
such a harsh
word.
I know.
I don't know if anybody hates us.
It defies your Dutch sensibilities, but.
It does.
Not all of us, they don't.
No, not all of us. Maybe one or two.
Maybe. I don't know. I can think of a few people.
Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We don't hate.
Hate the sin, love the sinner.
Some love us, some hate us, some are generally indifferent, but the bottom line is that they listen. Since they are here, why not have your message be heard? Sponsorship is cheap, but...
So are we.
Yes, it's cheap, but effective. Email, if this interests you, email wayne@super-ht.com for more information, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And drop us a line. Let us know if you're interested in having us talk about how awesome you are, right?
Yeah, sure. There you go.
I like that.
Yeah, that'll work.
Whether we believe it or not, we'll do it.
I mean, with a quality open like what Mitch delivered there, I mean, there's really the sky's the limit.
And Mitch is getting into it.
What did I do?
You're really getting into it. Lots of head, lots of bounces in your chair.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
You're really catching on to this.
Following your lead.
Following my lead. And I follow Wayne's lead, so it's got to be right.
And my shoulders ache from the weight of the load, but I will carry it.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine. Well, it is my duty, and I appreciate it. We also appreciated having your wife on the show. What was her off-air reaction after we got done?
You know, similar to reaction to anybody after seeing how the sausage is made. They're... interesting, but...
You know, it would have been better if I didn't go on.
Some things that she didn't need to know.
She didn't need to smell.
So why do you guys got to keep the door shut all the time? I mean, is there any way to get fresh air in there?
Well, you see. Employees out here trying to conduct business yet.
But I see your employees have figured out that Tuesdays at 5:30, quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
No knocking on the door.
Because we also have a little conversation afterwards. You know what I do in there? It's none of your business. So you keep quiet, and that's how we do it.
And be sure I can pay my bills, because the podcast ain't gonna...
Well, sure. We had a good month.
We did have a really good month. We boosted posts. We did a giveaway.
We did. And we should probably do that.
We should. not drag it on till the
right,
end.
And not be that guy that always says they're going to give away something but never do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Mitch, pick a number 1 through 37,226.
Because that's how many listens we had.
Wow, that's a big number.
If John Stone's listening, that's how many listens that we many, had.
Right. All right. Number 23.
Well, spin the wheel. Congratulations to our good friend, Jen Enema.
Hey!
We congratulations.
We appreciate you, and we've got an iPad with your name on it just because we care about you, and we thank you for being a faithful listener of the show and for helping spread the word.
If you don't come in within 36 hours, your
prize is forfeited.
Yeah. And that is within this record time, not published time. So time right now, 5:49 p.m. on August the 4th. But no, thank you, Jen. And thanks to everyone who played a hand in this. It was a lot of fun just to be able to spread the word. And, of course, thanks to Coleman, who was able to help us facilitate all this. So now here we are. It's episode number 13.
Mm-hmm. Like we talked about last time, it's like radio again a little bit when you bump into some people. I had someone talk to me a couple days ago, said, I said, you should share it. You got your chance for an iPad. Well, I never win. And guess what? He didn't share.
That's one way to guarantee you won't win.
Yeah. That's also why a lot of times votes don't count.
My vote don't count.
Well, I guess it doesn't.
What does that look for?
Just turn your head and look at him. The out of the corner of your eye thing.
Yeah, it's just that chicken look.
I'm trying to keep my mouth by the mic.
Oh, no, that's
I've already been scolded for
it. No, that's
it
fine. That's
today.
Fine. We've got...
It's only August.
I'm just surprised that you're like... All sort. He's like Mr. Glamour now. I'm like, I haven't appreciated how my voice has been represented in the last couple of podcasts. So we need to have a team meeting about this.
I didn't say that,
and we fixed it.
Wayne, the headphones on, I sounded too quiet in my own headphones. So
you did reach out to Schulten.
I saw
that on Twitter the other day.
No response. But you know what?
It's fine. I mean, I know we're only episode 13, and.
But I'm going to try harder. I'm going to reach out officially, not just over Twitter.
So what's an official reach out consist
I don't know.
Of?
I think
on
an email.
On your personal letterhead, official mm-hmm. Aaron Lawn's letterhead.
Mm-hmm. To whom it may concern.
J.D. Schulten. This is who it concerns. We would like to have you. And then also we would send one to Mr. Randy Feenstra and see if we can get him on both
Do
of
we
these
know,
guys.
Is there a third party candidate for
I'm sure not.
District 4?
Nobody that matters.
Maybe it should be you, Mitch.
No.
What?
Well, I'm not going to run for any kind of office, so no.
Why not? Would you have to step down as salesman?
No, it's just because...
Is that in the employee manual?
Yep.
No, it's just because he's a wuss. He can't handle the backlash when he says something that someone won't like, because inevitably that will be what happens, because Mitch is a man with strong opinions, but you just can't...
I can handle backlash. I wouldn't be here if I couldn't handle backlash. I've been called... I don't even want to say what for anybody who's new to the podcast, but there are people who have certain opinions of me already
that were, I suppose, are less than favorable.
Less than, yeah.
I have only ever run into people who have very high opinions of you.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. And you say that true. With a smirk on your face. So
no, that's because you're smirking when I say it.
Well,
because if you would run for office, you would have to take a stand on very divisive issues such as can you have chickens in town. Two,
yeah, well,
maybe three.
I mean, yeah. Hey, you know, yeah, well. Nobody on the council currently can take a stand on that. So.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm the one that gets mad if there's any backlash.
Well, yeah. No, you're just telling lies. I get mad when you tell lies.
It's not a lie.
We took a stand.
According to the paper,
we made a stand.
You punted.
You punted?
First of all, I can't kick that high. Second of all, I've tried it. It's kind of funny. I'm not a good punter. But, no, we decided as a whole that, the rules, the codes need to be updated. And that's not saying that we are going to include foul, equine, or otherwise. But that also means that because the rules are old, that... they could be up for discussion on a case-by-case basis because we're not afraid of opening that Pandora's coop.
So
you had to use that.
I did recycle that, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Well, I said it. Yeah, I said it during the meeting. I was pretty proud of myself.
Did people clap?
That
one.
Wow.
That was good.
He's so clever.
Ty did.
Ty liked it.
He appreciated that. And I probably said it more for Ty than anybody else.
So at the end of the day, the kids can keep the chickens.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Good. We're having terrible chicken times on the farm. We purchased probably 30 chicks this year and have two left.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
We had such good luck through the first 5-6 years that we purchased chicks at Baumgars or got them in the mail and things like that.
Are you
and
still buying the designer ones through the mail?
So what, one set of designers.
Is it Predators or
yeah,
what?
Predators.
It's not, see, if you moved to town and had a coop in the backyard, there's not as much.
It'd be a lot easier. So a lot easier. But we didn't fight predators before, but now, boy, we do.
So
what's
what are you gonna do to take care of that?
I think I do some illegal hunting.
It's not illegal.
Not at night?
Not on your own property. I mean, are you going to spotlight them?
Make it fair. Level the playing field.
Yeah. You'll consult your DNR officer because I may have this wrong. But
Mitch is not acting as your attorney.
If it is a varmint, meaning like a pest on your farm.
Well, do you even know what type of animal it is that is harvesting
your... It's an animal that's got sharp teeth.
Oh, that narrows it down.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
How do you know that the teeth raccoons. Are sharp?
Because they didn't
gum them to death.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Yes, they didn't gum the chickens to death. No, there's so, lots
get,
of.
I'm a city boy. You got to spell it out for me.
Thank you. Oh, it's lost so many. So now we've got only two left, and we've got two chickens left that one of my employees' daughters purchased. They kept them at their house. In town, in like a water bin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
like a waterer. Water truck. Yeah. And till they were starting to hop out of that, and then they brought them all out to my house. And then I successfully killed a whole bunch of them, except for two. So now we got four chickens left at the house, two of the 30 that we purchased. We had two sets come in the mail. Oh, that's so much fun to get chicks in the mail.
And I remember last time he did that, like the first arrived dead.
I know some guys
were
done
DOA.
That.
Mm-hmm. We're literally dead on arrival.
Yep. Whoops. And the second set came, and they were delivered to us on air.
That's right. Yes. And
so that was, and every single one of them survived, and we had so much fun, and we had hundreds of eggs, and they were, what are we going to do with all these eggs?
Buckeyes, right?
Yeah, Buckeyes.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we ordered a few more sets of Buckeyes through the mail, and chicks were hard to get this spring because everybody sitting at home during COVID thought, you know, it'd be really fun. Chicks.
Yeah, I'm going to raise my own livestock. Yes. Yeah.
So is a buck, is a Buckeye, is that a pretty common?
No, very.
An heirloom chicken breed? Because that would make total sense.
They don't call them heirlooms, but they call them something close.
Vintage.
The same idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same idea. But it's the only chicken in the Book of Perfection to have been bred by a woman.
Book of Perfection.
Which is the Book of Chickens, which lays out all of the American breeds of chickens and what they should look like.
And they had the audacity to call it the Book of Perfection.
Because it lays out that perfect breed of, what does that perfect chicken Rhode Island Red look like? What's that Barred Rock look like? A perfect Barred Rock. It sets the standard that everybody, all the producers, especially at your county fairs, need to work towards.
Mitch, if you wrote a Book of Perfection, what would be the subject matter?
No, every animal has a Book of Perfection.
Really?
That sets the standards that everything will
for
be judged by.
For showing them.
Oh. Okay.
Really doesn't have much to do with like their quality as a
breed
livestock.
Or whatever.
What do they look like?
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I'm still going to make you answer the question. If you had to write a Book of Perfection, what would be the subject matter?
Well, chapter one is a proper dirty sock disposal. I don't know. I think I could cover a whole chapter on that.
How to be particular about everything, especially about the things that you're particular about.
I'm not particular about everything. I'm here with you.
You have the right to remain.
So at least you're comfortable with your elitism. So, I mean, we've got that going for you, which is nice. That's okay.
I didn't mean it. You're picking on me, so I'm going to pick on you.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect when you're out on 25th?
24th.
Oh. Not quite 25th.
He'll aspire to be on 25th, but until then.
Meanwhile, Wayne went to South 9th.
South 9th, yeah.
South 9th.
Yep.
Sign the purchase agreement tomorrow, I'm told.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Good
which is,
for you.
Which means that I'll probably move in like October, live in my camper for a while.
It's all right. We got provisions for it. You came out Saturday and saw them with your own
eyes. Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw
is that.
Where
the outlet?
Yes.
That is.
Oh, my daughter will have so much fun during her time on the farm.
Mm-hmm. And we'll need you out there on the 17th of August. That's when we load up a couple more steers and bring them to the locker.
Ooh.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And the one that we're loading up is the jumper.
So your son, I know you posted a little meme the other day that was like, you think COVID-19's bad, try being with my dad when you let the
wrong cow out of the chute or something like that. Yeah, because he met some pretty hot wrath when he didn't get the side gate shut on the chute, and that's what's caused this. That's that same steer.
Okay.
And then trying to get him back around and in has got it in his head that he needs to be afraid. And now I tried to do the favor of putting a little fly spray on him.
You would think they would call out
and ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
It's run out. Sweet bring more
relief.
Out.
Sweet relief.
No, he took off running and just right on up over our 42-inch tall wood fence.
Wow. Did you even Unreal. Think they could do that?
No. Because the last time that we've had steers try, they take the top two rails with them. So I know they can't clear it.
I guess you have to applaud the acrobatics
and
to
this,
that, right?
This old boy just right up and over. Oh, I've never, just the athleticism there. That makes me worry for the meat quality. I need more laziness. I need more fat.
That's not good for the marbling.
No, yeah. So are you gonna do the trick you did before and come out there with a six pack of Sam Adams to try
I'm
and calm them down
it.
Before they you put them on the truck?
I'm thinking about trying the six pack of Sam's, the last peace offering, to right. get a little loopy yeah, before just, we put them on the truck.
Well, let's see. It only weighs about 2,000 pounds, so a six pack of Sam's.
Well, he's 1,200, and if I'm 250, well, that's like five of me. And if I do three, and I want him to feel the same way, so I should get him.
You better get him a pony keg.
A lot of six packs.
Never seen a steer do a keg stand, but
yeah, if you guys want to come over on the 16th that evening and help me pop tops on all kinds of Sam Adams. The other guy that's with him is just real cool. He's fine.
Hey, man, I got nothing to live for anyway, so.
No, because once they're neutered, they really lose. They don't understand why they're alive, and they're usually just pretty cool about anything.
But then your bull who understands why he's alive, and he's got only one job, and he's been performing that job.
And it's 21 days out of the year.
And when I was over,
he lives for those 20
for those 21
spring
days.
Break. Well, to be fair, if those of us in this room could get 21 days a year, I'm sure we'd be pretty happy. But anyway, when I was over there, the bull seemed a little apathetic, a little lethargic.
Yes, he was. That after I moved him, and he had a little bit of a limp.
Yeah,
and
a little bit of a limp to him.
Kind
yeah.
of a little nervous about the limp, but. You know, when you weigh that kind of weight and you've got 12 jobs to do, that's a lot of weight coming yeah. down on the legs.
So I'm sure at that point, limp would be the worst of his worries, but.
So we'll, I watched him kind of walk today. He seems to be over the limp, which is good because, well, that's what goes wrong with bulls over time. They just, that's just a lot of weight on those joints.
Yep. Yeah. Could you imagine that? When you're put out to pasture, it's just because you've had so much sex that your joints literally can't take it anymore.
Oh, what a life.
But you've said it before, Aaron. You said it, that there are so many of life's experiences that can be explained on the farm.
By cattle.
Yes.
And I didn't realize how much of the bull and heifer behavior could be paralleled to my 22, 23-year-old employee and his life experiences. So many parallels.
So with your 21, 22, 23-year-old employee, where does he fit in the bull, steer, heifer?
All kinds of,
like,
he's the bull.
So he's the bull. He's
then,
the young
but
bull.
But then these little, these... I'm not going to get that. But these heifers he runs around with, it sounds terrible. But when you're paralleling
metaphorically.
It. Yeah, metaphorically. It's just the decisions that are made. I see those decisions made in the cattle yard. I do. I see them, and they're stupid. And it's like you just want to walk out there with a 2x4 and smack them. And then you want to take your employee, and you want to walk over there with a 2x4, and you want to smack him. And like, come on, man.
Is that also in the Guide of Animal Husbandry, the Guide of Perfection? Okay, so here's the size of the 2x4 that you need.
If you're working with the bull, you get the 16-footer.
Yeah, if your bull is...
don't want to be very close for that.
But I suppose that it's been you've been able to provide some teachable moments to your children.
It's made sex ed a lot easier. All right, son, you just saw what happened there. So that's something. Otherwise, how do you bring it up?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah.
I never got that talk. So
I never got it either.
Still waiting for it, I guess.
Well, you'll just have to bring Wyatt over there, and then you both can have it together.
Well, you see here,
please
kids.
Explain. I'll be back in a half hour.
Well, then he'll just get off on another tangent about, like, scrotal circumference. And this will produce champions, son.
That's what I'm told. That's what I'm told.
But I bought this from the Amish special.
Yep. It did. He's come right from the Amish with an incredible 42 centimeters. But
What is that in inches?
Divided by 2.54.
You didn't really have to look at
that. Well, I want to know now.
6 or 7?
I mean, are we talking about like a fitted hat size?
16 and a half.
That's, are you sure that's right?
Around?
There's 2.54 centimeters in an inch?
Yeah, that is correct.
16. Do you remember that from high school?
That's great. That was grade school.
That's grade school. Ryan. Just the other night, my son asked, well, how many kilograms in a pound or pounds in a kilogram? Whichever one. I said, well, 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from lifting weights, right? Because that you just kind of notice that all your 10-pound plates and whatever.
Kilos.
And look at that. Anyways, we really ruined our first segment.
Well, especially when someone like you starts talking about lifting weights, then you know that we're well outside of our comfort zone.
Look at me. Don't I look like I lifted a lot of weights?
Yeah, 12 ounces at a time.
We had a weight room. It was pathetic. It was bad.
At Western or
at Western before?
Well, that was before they had football. Mm-hmm. So
there was no reason to have weights. All you wanted to produce was runners.
That's right. You know, and I suppose they had basketball then. So,
which again, all you want to produce is runners.
LeBron lifts.
LeBron is not a 6'3" Dutch farmer.
But no, I'm not talking about basketball in general. I'm talking about like back when I was at Western, lifting weights really wasn't a thing.
Oh,
it was more let's run, and if you watched basketball back then, and probably even now, it was how fast can we run and how long can we run till the other team's dead, and then we'll win. And that was just basically the long and the short of basketball. Cherry pick, cherry pick, cherry pick.
run. They were able to recruit the really tall athletes that were that were standouts everywhere else.
Yeah, that's why they got me there. That's why I was there.
No, they needed your tuition to fund the scholarships.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I've been wondering how that worked. You finally put it together for me.
I tell you, sorry, for all the Western people listening, I'm an outsider. I don't care. You guys can have your post-toasty arguments with Sheldon and all that stuff. I just sit on the sidelines and watch because I think y'all are both funny. Did you feel a disconnect with Sheldon when you were at Western? Like they, you know, the whole elitism, who's better than who thing.
All I remember from when I was in high school was we didn't play Sheldon because in the past there was problems with property destruction.
Right. And like people lost jobs because of it.
That I hadn't really
ever
heard.
Yeah. Like there was a banker that lost a job
over behavior at a game.
Yes. Yep.
So I know some of the games were scrapped, and I want to say we played Sheldon towards the end a little more, and then things were fine. But then
But then I guess I'll ask this question: how much did you actually pay attention, or were you just like an ASA, like your son, who's just like,
a lot of people in this gym. That's neat. You know, I wonder if... I can't wait to get back to playing Command & Conquer. I wonder if they have Mountain Dew there. Oh, man, I hope they have Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, Code Red. Ooh.
This won't surprise you, but we drank Mellow Yellow because when you looked in the bottom of the can, half the time you'd win a free can of Mellow Yellow.
Oh, sure. Yep.
That doesn't shock you, does it? But that would be our choice.
Well, so, all right, we're going to take a brief time out. When we come back, I want to get back on the high school rival issue because I want to hear... Because we didn't have that growing up. So
what?
No, we didn't. I'll explain.
Okay.
Here in segment number two after this.
Green belt does that. I think anything that we're drinking does that.
Yeah. Well, it's carbonated. I mean, what do you want?
But Green Belt, the big friendly, especially.
Yes.
All right.
How long you been drinking Green Belt?
Since I was 19, probably.
So since you were 17.
No. I didn't have access to it till I was at college.
Oh, sure. So then it was McGolden?
McGolden was my...
That was your go-to?
My gateway drug to Minnesota beer, I would call it. The ribbed cans were really cool.
Yeah, I grew up on that. Yep.
We'd celebrated Cinco de Grain Belt since 2004.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But as a softball team, we had Cinco de Grain Belt.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that. On the May 4th, we'd all get together as a softball team and partake.
Now, what's funny is that here Mitch and I are talking about our wayward teenage years where we've probably started drinking and doing other stuff way earlier than what we'd like our kids to.
And I'm like, at 24, I did that.
Well, it's not like nobody in your school did that.
No, I'm not saying in my school. I'm just saying.
You were a nerd.
Yes.
No.
But.
I was a well-behaved nerd.
No, you weren't a nerd because you didn't have good grades.
Relative to my sisters, no, I did not have good grades. Relative to just the class as a whole, I was fine.
So what, like C was the average?
No, up higher than that.
B minus was the average?
I don't know, 3.3 or something. Nothing to really get wound up about, but nothing that's
nothing to write home about. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. That was. I want to say that I graduated with like a 2.75 or something like that. It was.
But I'll tell you this.
But you were homecoming king.
Yeah. Right.
That's all that matters.
So what else matters? And then I went to a for-profit education school and. Goes to show you that that's how much smarts I have.
The rest is history.
I guess it got me here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we were growing up, so I grew up in Minneapolis and specifically suburb Eagan, Minnesota. And we talked a little bit last segment about how the rivals, now my rival, we didn't have like the bitter, like, ooh, you. But my only recollection was... We had there was a private school, so it was a little bit of the public versus private thing. It was Crete and Durham Hall.
Yeah, that's where Joe Mauer went.
Joe Mauer graduated the same year I did, so he was a stud quarterback for their football team. They just destroyed us. And then, you know, things were said about private school.
As what happens.
In which, yeah. But, you know.
There wasn't any animosity. I figured like Eden Prairie is kind of a...
Yeah, but it was more, just, you know, that was a class warfare thing. Like, well, if we had money like that, we'd be good too.
Right.
Whereas, but there's just so many people that it's hard, you know, when you have that much to be really like, oh, man, those guys. Whereas... Like growing up, you know, Mitch went to a high school of 5 and then Aaron to a high school of 18.
77 in my class. Dang it.
But you, so Mitch, you being Southern O'Brien County, you just wanted to be counted for something.
We're here.
No.
We're here.
Class A, right? You Class A athletics?
We were 2A. We were 2A in everything.
What? Bocce ball?
We were 2A in everything when I was in high school.
They could field 11 men on the football field. That counts, right? Because you weren't playing 9-man or what, or 8-man,
no,
or whatever.
No, we were 2 classes above before you could even be eligible to do that.
And no, we weren't concerned about football like at all when I was in high school.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Could you imagine having your you guys didn't, your homecoming wasn't soccer, was it?
It was basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which yeah, it was different.
Yeah, but I'm sure your homecoming dance was like, you get to, you bring your gal there, and then you guys shake hands, and you're all handed Bibles, and you go your separate ways,
it,
right?
It should have been that. It should have been.
But this is still one of my favorite Aaron stories.
Oh, no.
And we shared.
Oh, the what?
We share, just in case we have a podcast audience that isn't the same as our radio audience. So Mitch brought up how Aaron, nerd, dweeb.
Let's all bring our computers to your basement, Sam, and your folks have 56K.
That's right. We'll have a LAN party and play Command and Conquer and whatever.
Watch The Simpsons.
Oh, don't tell Mom.
Don't tell the folks.
Oh, man. But you actually found yourself bringing not one, but two girls to prom.
Yes.
Which was just
two amazing gals who married really awesome guys. It's a shame that neither one of them could decide, on me.
Yeah, you were.
No, yeah.
It's what, neither doubly, one of them. Doubly friend-zoned is what I would call that.
No, I was friend-zoned before the gig even began. They were just.
But you were just like, oh, I see she's still a girl that talks to me, so it's pretty cool.
So I'll do.
Did they
I'll
ask as, you?
I don't remember how it went.
Okay, so they did.
So you have to remember when you have Western, and the same with Unity, you're dealing with 5, 6, 7 little grade schools.
Sure.
That, mm-hmm. well, that these kids are going K through 8 or. And then when you get to Western, you've got all these different schools that are coming together. So it's really cool in that when you're a freshman, it's a fresh start.
Yeah.
You don't have a history. You don't have.
Take that, Charlene.
Yeah.
She's from Orange City.
The bad part is you make friends with people from Inwood, and then it's 55 miles to their house.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not as close-knit geographically as what maybe would be nice, but. So when you have that, your kids that you went, the other kids that you went to school with, you're still kind of tight, as if almost more like family than.
Right.
So, yeah, these two girls that you went to school with your entire life, and now you're at Western as a senior. I didn't have a date. They didn't have dates. And we thought, yeah, wouldn't that be neat? And I just thought to myself, man, if I ever get on radio later, this will make a great story. No, it's. But yeah, so I picked them up, and they were that was my grandfather's 1994. I think that was it was
Chrysler LeBaron
1997. It was when Ram completely redesigned their truck.
Yep.
To make it look like a semi, and it was red and extended cab.
It's what Chuck Norris drove.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and on
it,
Walker Texas Ranger.
Threw up the council. Climb in, girls.
Yeah.
No thanks. We'll sit in the back. And yeah, the 30-mile trip we went to Western and dropped them off. I don't even know if we got a picture taken with the three of us. That'd be a great picture. And that was the last I saw of them.
We'll find our own way home. Thank you.
And that was my senior prom.
Yeah, and then they found like the captain of the soccer team and then the chairman of the bocce ball or whatever they had. And
oh boy. Okay. Well, if you need anything, holler.
But, so. I'm curious.
Yeah.
We were talking about the rivalry thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because did Western even have a rival? Or did, because everybody hated them, it was like a rivalry every week?
I would say other schools' perspective fits that, perhaps,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The disdain for Western and the success
and I don't
that
hate
had.
Western, but I mean, that's kind of the perception around here.
Did you feel like there was animosity there that other schools were?
Not really.
So it wasn't,
the only school that you would say you maybe had a rivalry with would have been Unity, because you felt you were both in
recruiting
the same
against each other.
No,
oh,
you're terrible. All right, this is it. I'm tired of it.
Oh, it's a joke. It's a joke. I don't believe that.
Oh, now you got me riled.
Oh, now you really come on. You're not spirit like. It's fine.
So it's. I'll say okay. You got me.
Do you need to take a breath?
So there was 115 kids in our class.
So your class was bigger than...
We were bigger than what we are now, but Trinity started. So
well, I was just going to say bigger than the SOBs.
We were bigger than South O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And a freshman year of basketball, 40 of us tried out for freshman basketball. Does that happen in a public school? No, because the eighth grade basketball team graduates... to be the freshman basketball team, right?
Yeah.
And so that includes all but two of the guys in the class.
8th grade basketball teams.
Right.
Yeah. So you've got, now think of that. You've got 7 8th grade basketball teams, each with their own coach, each playing. In Sanborn, it's not even asked. It's mandatory. You play. Now think of every kid in your 8th grade class being told you will play basketball your 6th, 7th, and 8th grade year. And then
of myself as a basketball player.
And then you get to your freshman year and you basically are taking an all-star team at that point. You're going to have a very good set of guys.
Now you're starting to sound like a Western guy.
And then they're going to get better at playing together and you're going to have success. Yeah. It's just a different structure.
Well, I would say
same way for volleyball.
Some people don't get weeded out too early in a system like that because you can't at Sanborn Christian. You don't have enough people to do that.
You have to play.
We're at a public school where we all kind of came together at that age. There are kids that maybe would have been good, but by 8th grade, they'd already quit.
Yeah, but when it comes to Western, I'll be careful how I say this. I don't mean just Western, but because it is it's an area-wide thing. I've got 3 letters for you. AAU.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
These parents that will pay hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to chase their children and waste how many Saturdays driving all over God's creation to watch them play. It's either basketball or volleyball, right?
Yeah, and you've got MyFL and whatever for football too. But
that's so that's in town, which is no big deal.
The AAU is going to be statewide.
Right.
So, and I think it's hurting high school sports because, to the point you made, the kids have played so much that they're just sick of it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm out is because mom and dad are freaking out about just being really me needing to do better and need to improve my skills and I got to have game time or the coach needs to see me and all this and that. My kids are not, from what I can see now, are not going to really be big into that. My daughter was at a volleyball camp today.
Yeah.
Was probably one of the worst girls out there.
Oh, jeez.
But
hi, honey, if you're listening.
She's not doing AAU.
Love you.
It doesn't mean I love her it doesn't mean that I don't love her when I say it's just a fact. She just doesn't have a lot of experience. So this volleyball camp is made for my daughter. Meanwhile, these other kids are playing AAU.
Is this
ball.
like a Northwestern or?
That's a Western.
Oh, okay.
And earlier, Asa was at a basketball camp. So, I don't know. And that used to be all you really had out there. Now it is AAU. And I'm not going. If my wife really wants it, she can take the kids. But I'm staying home.
To spend that kind of money, and say, for example, I actually had a conversation with Fake Bob about this one day. Shout out to Fake Bob at Fake Bob VP on Twitter. Talk about having, so say you've got more than one child. Say you've got 2 children. Say you've got 4 children.
Oh, been there.
If you've got one kid who's into sports and who's good at it, and so you've got the parents chasing over God's green earth, trying to get them here, there, and everywhere. And say you have a child that's not good. Like the sports isn't their thing, but maybe music or drama or just nothing, like just academics or... basket weaving. You've got. I think there are some peer pressures there that you have to cater to the sports side, right? I mean,
Sure, right? You don't think so?
Jinx.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think your guys' perspective is a little different because. I mean, you participated in track only, right?
And
you,
soccer.
You were in a big...
I was on the state championship soccer team in 1996, NBD.
There
was only 16...
Were you providing the water and the oranges?
No, I managed.
Okay. And you didn't play sports at all, Wayne?
I played intramural baseball till age 12 and then quit.
All right, so there are a lot more games than there are... band contests, for example.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's easy to look at it that way, especially if you're, somebody who maybe doesn't care for sports or didn't care for participating in sports. I don't know that, do some parents favor the sports? Absolutely. But there are a lot of opportunities to do both. I mean, that's the beauty of going to a small school like our kids do,
sure,
is you are able to do all of those things. You don't have to be the band geek. You don't have to be the theater person. You could, you don't have to be the dumb jock. You can actually be all of them.
Yeah. To Wayne's point, when I was on school board, we had we were looking for a basketball coach or a volleyball coach, one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. And then we were also looking for a coach for the future problem solvers team, which is something that the some kids that maybe aren't really excited about sports that they can do. And you, there's competitions, and you can go to state, and you can do all this stuff. And a point that a board member made, and he was right, he said, we will move heaven and earth to be sure that we have a volleyball coach and a basketball coach. But if we can't find someone for future problem solvers or something academic or maybe a music program, no, that's fine. You know, and I think that's Northwest Iowa as a whole. Yeah. I think that's a Northwest Iowa thing that we would be perfectly fine if we got to skip music or arts or a play or something. Like COVID. Yeah. Oh, we can't do a play this fall because of COVID. No, I understand that. But boy, if we have to get rid of football this fall.
Well, football involves a lot more people, too.
Don't care. You want to stand. You want to talk to one of them people at their funeral when their offensive line is dead. About... You want? I can't believe you don't care for lives.
Jeez. All right. We're not getting into that.
Isn't it? Yeah. No, I'm just taking the part of.
Yeah,
well, yeah. All right. Let's we'll take a brief time out. When we come back, let's talk about school is starting next week for Sheldon. Mm-hmm. And
we're ready to go. Face-to-face learning.
The official word from Sheldon has come out, and we'll talk a little bit about how that's going to impact us and how long we may or may not actually have a school year next.
Banana for a baton, and then you had to eat it. The race wasn't over until you ate the banana, but then somebody choked the one year, so they made him quit doing
that. Yeah, I better not eat the banana next year.
And that apparently is how fat guys run in track.
The fat man 4x1.
Yeah, fat man 4x1.
So why did you have to do that?
For fun.
You ran for fun.
Just 100 meters. You can do that. Yeah, you get to 80 and you're regretting it, but then it's only 20 more to go.
And so you participated in track then?
Yeah. I threw shot and discus.
Just like me.
Oh, you got kindred spirits over here. Oh.
I was a much thinner version of Mitch Geese in high school.
And so was Mitch Geese.
I was, yeah. So was I. Yeah.
So I got my wife an Apple Watch.
Sure.
And she's using all of the features of it, which I only use, like, the notify me if there's a text or email or call. Otherwise, shut up. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife uses everything else, but not the phone, email, and text portion. So last night, there she walked around the house, and I'm putting up a ceiling in the porch. And then she walks around again. What in the world? I got to get my steps in. It's like, oh, my stars.
Wyatt has a kid's Fitbit because he has some buddies that had one. So he wanted that. We got it for him for his birthday. But anyway, he'll get up. We'll be sitting on the couch at night, you know, watching TV or whatever. All of a sudden, he gets up marching around the house. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, got 1,000 steps to go, Dad. Got to get this done.
I guess. Like, whatever it takes.
I wish I had that level of motivation.
I do not.
Maybe I need something to count my steps, and then I would.
Well, I don't think it, for people like us, it wouldn't be just like hey, you should really give walking a try. It needs to be some sort of like electric shock, like some sort of something that's painful.
The little tap on the wrist that says, you've been sitting for 90 minutes, it's time to get up. You need to shut your mouth. I got work to do here. I ain't going to get done by walking around.
Nope. Sitting here for a reason. But we talked about heading into the break that we've got school coming up here for Sheldon. It's right away here a week from tomorrow. Tuesday, August 4.
It's like Sheldon was into starting early anyways. And then they kind of got told by the state, or not Sheldon didn't, but the state came out and said, well, you really shouldn't start till now. But this is super early. August 12th.
Really early.
And so now the official word is out that they've made 3 declarations. And by they, I do mean the Sheldon school system. They say that, A,
We highly recommend that students and staff wear masks, especially when social distancing is not possible. B, masks will be required on school buses as social distancing is not possible. We will be operating all bus routes, but encourage families, comma, who are able, comma, to provide transportation for your children whenever possible. And then line C is visitors, parents, or other guests will not be allowed to eat lunch with the students in the cafeterias. Looked at Sibley Cheatin's return to learn plan. They say a lot of the same things. Parents and guardians not able to deliver food or to eat with the kids, essential suppliers for delivery items, including, but blah, 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 blah. They don't have the mask quotient listed in there. So now it shall be that if your child is in the Sheldon school system, they're going to have to get used to wearing a mask,
which that, in my opinion, if that is what the administration feels is the best decision, good. Do it. I tell my kids you're going to listen to the teacher. They're going to tell you what to do and you're going to follow.
All I think about is my daughter who will be starting transitional kindergarten this year. I'm going to keep a mask on her.
And you know,
that's going to be tough. I think that's why they went with the wording highly recommended.
Right.
Because, you know,
yeah, but she's going to ride the bus. So then it's going to be a mandatory thing.
But
so,
you may be surprised. You go out and you buy her a special mask. My wife bought some masks, pre-made, really neat looking ones for the kids.
We do. We have that. She's got like a princess one.
Yeah. Ezra wore the thing for 4 hours straight at home. Well, you don't need it on now, just when you go into Dollar General. But I think the plan makes sense myself. But there's going to be parents that aren't going to like it. And parents, even in the school that my wife teaches, my kids go to, there's a couple families that have decided they're going to homeschool.
Really?
Great. More power to you.
And
good.
I think that's not a bad thing if you can swing it.
But it's very hard. I think a lot of people figured that out this fall. When you've got, especially if, let's say, single parent home or both parents work. Well, with Mitch and Greta. Well, you guys, even with me and my wife, how do you pull that off where you need to clock in your 8-10 hours during the day, and then where are your kids going to go if you have them home all day?
Good question. Can you imagine
what you'd have more problems than dirty socks on the counter if you left those two kids home all day.
We'd be living in a camper before too long. My gosh.
Could you imagine? I wonder, we've said this before, that when in March, when this stuff came out, we were surprised that we'd actually be talking about this now, and now we don't see an end to it.
I think all the schools were just happy to say, okay, we're just going to quit for the end of the year. All right, May 1, they were like, all right, we're just going to we're done. We're the checkered flag, we're done, we'll pick everything back up and start again in August. And now here we're sitting in the same boat. And the climate, you could argue, is worse today than what it was in May.
Yeah, very much so. And
the climate of the virus.
Right, as far as the number of active cases and things like that. Well, let's take a look at what happened. What happened was when the virus hit, or at least the threat thereof, back in March, everyone was super, it was shut down, right?
Yep.
So everybody
freaked.
Yep. But when everyone freaked, there were no cases.
It's true.
And I'm not saying that there were no cases just because they haven't made it here yet. I mean, I think a big part is there were no cases because there were no people not engaging in their social distancing.
Right.
And then summer rolls around and I'm thinking, don't get in the way of my summer routine.
Right.
I live all three other crappy seasons of the year for this or one
season.
That's
right. Exactly right.
You're not going to stand in my way.
Well, the part that I don't understand is the narrative has changed, and we've talked about this before, from we're all going to get it, we just don't want everybody to get it all at the same time. And now,
which
now,
I agree with
100%, but then we open stuff back up and then people are getting it. Okay, all right, but is the hospital full? Well, no,
in fact,
okay,
we're
but are a lot of people dying? Well, no,
right,
and but people are getting it, so we should all still stay home.
People are dying, though.
Some people are,
yes,
some people are, but we always said all along that some people would, and I'm not trying to dismiss that or diminish that at all. but we knew that would happen mm-hmm. up front.
It is impossible to completely let this virus die. It will exist somewhere until everybody has become pretty well immune to it, whether by vaccines or by having it. And that's just the way it is. And even the vaccines now, it sounds like, well, they might be 50% effective. Okay. That means multiple vaccines. And it also still means, well, it's not going to eradicate it. We're going to be dealing with this thing. So you can either freak out I don't know.
I hate wearing a mask as much as anybody. I just find it annoying. Mm-hmm. Not that I think it's some infringement on my rights.
On your
or
constitutional
whatever.
Rights. Thomas Jefferson said you will not have to wear a mask in these United States.
Right. Yep. That's why I don't wear a seatbelt, because nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you're a libertarian. That's kind of the thing.
Well,
right?
No, I am not. Said before on not everything.
It's a whole other podcast episode.
Yeah, we're not getting into that. So don't even... You try to go down that road in every discussion, dang it.
Well...
But...
Leave him alone.
Dang but it. No, I don't like it any more than anybody else. But if you look at countries that have, you know, diminished it, they are typically wearing masks.
They are. But so, it's coming... A lot of these countries that we pointed to and said, look at the success they've had. Well, now cases are spiking in those countries despite all the best efforts.
It's yeah, well, that's going to happen, but I mean, I guess I don't. So if wearing a mask helps. Great. I'll
pulling
it
back local. These schools are going to try it. They're going to try the face-to-face. But then, so you're a parent that says, I don't want to risk it with my kids. It's on your conscience, mm-hmm. and you pull your kids out. Now, all of a sudden, you've got, do you send your kids, do you hold them back that year? Do you send them ahead the next year while you kind of halfway tried homeschooling? You know, it's really going to disrupt the educational system in the U.S. as a whole.
Absolutely, especially since you're already half a year behind just because of last year. You know, I mean, despite all of our best of intentions with homeschooling and everything like that, let's face it. I mean, unless you're a teacher, you're not giving them the education that they could be getting at school. And I'm certainly not diminishing anything that people are doing at home, but I don't. My wife will tell you that she can do a lot. I will tell you that my wife can do a lot, and she's great. Did I cover my ass there?
I think you did. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well enough. And now the butt. Was there a butt coming?
Yes.
It felt like there was a... However,
you did not have to emphasize my butt.
Oh.
But you know that the fact that we're not getting the in-class education that we're going to be behind. And it's going to be a lasting, I think there's going to be a lasting effect to it, I think.
I think at this point we need to have legislation that says we're taking this year off and maybe next year as well. And we're tacking on year 13 and 14 at the high school level.
No. No, 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 no.
So we're... He's got his retirement plans already figured out.
I'm 57
Mitch Keese has stuff to do.
I'm
going to
be much younger than that.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to be 48.
Oh, my.
What are you and your wife going to do?
I don't know.
Whatever they want.
I'm not trying to fast forward, but I do have some things that I want to do. Yeah.
Like what?
I don't know. Whatever I want.
He wants to farm.
He's going to be that guy. Oh, well, it's time to retire. We should sail the world. Yeah, but I got a guy on the line about a 40-20, so let's just wait and just kind of see how that goes.
Now last week you told me I take too much vacation. Now, which one is it?
Well,
it's whatever fits.
Whatever fits the current narrative.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Minnesota has decided, they came out today and said that their winter sports will be pushed back to spring. So now both football and volleyball will be played in the spring. That'll be interesting to see what happens around here, not only just because that's a state that's close to us, but we do have a lot of, especially here in the northern parts of Iowa, a lot of teams that will go back and forth across the border. I know that camps and stuff have already started here, so I suppose that line's already been drawn.
I think there was a lot I think you can say that baseball and softball were a success in the state of Iowa.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
94% of the teams or something like that were able to complete the season. So I think they're going to try it with football and volleyball. And now I would consider football and maybe volleyball, you can have sweat and whatever as much as football. But I think football would maybe be a lot more.
Yeah.
So
contact.
Yeah.
Much more than basketball. Baseball.
Mitch putting his thumb in people's eyes and
got a little hooks. Icy
That's
hot.
Against the rules. Fish I wouldn't hooks. Do that.
Did, yeah, right.
What? I didn't play dirty.
The linemen are I the smartest men on the field.
The offensive linemen. They were facing up against the dummies, the defensive right. linemen. All they got to know is push.
That's true. And
offensive linemen need to know left or right, right. push.
We're not going to get into this, but my brother's listening, and he was a defensive lineman, and even he would say that any idiot can play D-line. So just saying.
And I love nothing more than to talk about something that I have absolutely no knowledge about.
I know. Not
I can tell. I can tell. Well, did you guys see, though, that there are kids coming in from out of state to play football in Iowa because they saw that we were able to pull off the baseball season? So there's a kid from California going to go to West Des Moines Dowling.
So the Catholics.
Yeah, I mean, they really cast a wide recruiting net, you know. No, I don't. There was some connection, I think.
Because they want to be scouted by college.
Yeah, but and then there's some kids from Colorado, the Denver area, looking at moving to West Des Moines and going to Valley High School.
Couldn't afford the tuition at Dowling, huh?
You're just really on it tonight.
There are scholarships for people like that, Wayne.
Isn't that where our former principal is at now? Did he go to Dowling?
He's at Dowling.
Sorry, Matt. Love you.
I doubt he's listening.
Yeah, I doubt it, too.
But if he does.
If he does, yeah.
You think that the kids are worried about, you know, being scouted and wanting to be a top recruit, and if there's no football season I say this because I think there's a lot of we're in a very unique time where you can utilize social media and you can, you know, so I've got a nephew who's 16 now. So he'll be a junior this year for MOC, and he prides himself as a stud wide receiver, and he's good. Don't get me wrong.
He can catch a ball.
Right, but he also knows he's good, so we got to knock him down a little bit.
Right, yeah.
But I was talking with him and his father, and there are like these recruiters out there that are like, hey, put together a TikTok video or Facebook video or Instagram or whatever. Just showcase your speed, showcase your hands, you know, showcase yourself against somebody else, you know, like the fat guy like Wayne, that you know, how you can burn him off the line. That's the new age of recruiting now. I think especially when you know that there aren't going to be a whole lot of games played this year.
Yeah, for playing in a game.
And I know that it's hard to, like, display, like, as an offensive lineman to display your mental acumen other than saying, I can move refrigerator and eat its contents.
Yes, that's what they yell.
Right, that's what it is. Yep.
Yep. When they're introducing them.
That's what I had on my recruiting MySpace page back in the day.
You had a recruiting MySpace page?
No, I didn't have a recruiting anything.
No? Well, how did BV
they didn't
pick
have
you up?
It's BV.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's not exactly it's not exactly like Alabama here.
No, it's not Alabama, but you do have to actually have some level of skill.
Were you trying to like maybe get to Morningside, which I would assume would be a better program?
No, it definitely wasn't at the time. It is today.
It is today.
It wasn't then. So,
did you have to was part of the tryout process to see how well you could handle a buffet? Which
not that I'm aware.
I know Pot Kettle Black. Yes,
yeah, I was gonna say.
I get that, but I just remember your story.
I got about my buddy.
Me and the boys.
Yeah, that was kind of our. Well, most of the teams in our conference were in the eastern half of Iowa, so we had longer road trips than everybody else, or, you know, more frequently anyway. So, kind of our go-to was Bishop's Buffet in Waterloo. Was on our way to a lot of the places where we played, so we'd hit the road Friday afternoon, catch Bishop's Buffet on our way to wherever we went. And I remember being in line, and my buddy, Trent Burley, an aptly named human being, he's a lot thinner now, but we were standing in line, and Bishop's was, it's kind of like the Royal Fork. Like,
sure.
It's got your kind of crappy buffet fare, but on a Friday night, you know, they had steak and shrimp and oysters and whatever like that. We're standing in line. I'm right behind Burley. And this worker comes out with a tray of, pretty sure it was oysters, comes out with a tray of fresh oysters in the half shell, and about to set him down, the manager taps on his shoulder, and I can't hear what he's saying, but he kind of points at Burley, and kind of like, don't put him out till this guy's through. And the guy turns around and sets him on the shelf behind him, waits till we pass by, and then he puts him out. I was like...
Those boys from lose Storm Lake.
Lose our margins here.
So, yeah, I know my way around a buffet.
You, me, both, man. I mean, I wish I couldn't do it professionally or at least semi-pro like you did, but I gave it my all. And maybe if when I was growing up, if there were, you know, tapes of me at Old Country Buffet, I could have been something. But
I think one of the first dates I went on,
you didn't,
I brought the girl.
Buffet.
Yes, Royal Fork. Just like you brought up.
I know. Well, it sounds fancy.
Good place up in Sioux Falls. Real good.
Hey.
They let you go up as many times as you want.
Guess what? This is on me. You have anything you want. And you have it twice.
I'm pretty sure it was one. If it wasn't the first, it was awful close to the first. And so I would have been a junior in high school. But that's all I knew of Sioux Falls dining. And I thought that was like the cream. That was it.
And I can only imagine like the disgust as she has probably like a plate full of food. And then you're like, what are you doing? It's all the same price. Load up. Did you bring your Ziploc bags like I told you?
You're the only one carrying a purse. You've got to have the Tupperware.
Well, I'm assuming it was a Sioux County gal, so she probably knew.
No, it was an Osceola County girl.
Oh, okay.
So then then her and I went to prom and then went to the other high-end restaurant that I knew of at the time, Perkins.
Oh,
yeah. That was like... 5 a.m. prom, because you had prom and after prom.
Garcon, and, right. I'll take a your finest buttermilk 5, please.
Oh, no. For prom, you go all out.
Tremendous 12. Yeah.
That's actually, as linemen, then we would always eat at Perkins in the morning pregame. Tremendous 12. Dang.
What I can only hope for is that our children will be telling similar stories long from now. About, yeah, you know, so this COVID thing was going on, and my parents didn't know this at the time, but I totally did not socially distance. And
alive to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that I was not that old until I started talking. And then I realized that, like, with every year, I age about 5 in the mental scale. And
I'm 11 days from turning 40.
So are you having a crisis?
No, so, because I'm busy enough that it's not really hitting me yet.
You're going to have the garage space for a Corvette, you know, midlife crisis. Nah.
My midlife crisis can be fixed by purchasing cattle.
Well, no, you've been eyeballing some pretty high dollar recreational vehicles.
Sure, yeah. That camper you gave me all kinds of crap for on the last episode.
So is it,
'cause it wasn't on order? Accurately portrayed. No, it's not on order. No, why would it? No. No, next April, maybe May.
Well, you have to make
all the
sure
buys
that,
are right
well,
now.
we might still be sleeping in my current trailer if we can't kick things into gear.
So, current the level of desire to pull the camper somewhere else to a quote-unquote camp.
My wife thought that maybe we should do something this weekend until I saw the forecast, and I'm like, no. The last thing I want to do is camp in mid-90s weather. In a camper that should have two ACs, but only has one.
They backed it off to 92 so you'll be fine.
Anything over 88 ain't doing it. That's the threshold. Yep, that's my threshold. If it's over 88, cancel the trip. Staying home. AC in the garage works much better.
You have AC in your garage.
That's where we're living.
I mean, that's spoken.
I know, like it's like America, but
that's a true HVAC guy.
I was not going to live in the garage, have the kitchen, dining room, living room, closet, everything in the garage without air conditioning.
I mean, I guess like
this is 2020 for Pete's sake.
Andy Griffith only had a screen door.
He did only have a screen door. Yeah, but yeah, that was also 1963. Oh. So
this is his 2020 version of a screen door is a
AC in the garage.
24,000 BTU
like
AC
9,000.
In the garage.
You got to keep the door shut because it can hardly do it. But it gets it done.
You poor soul.
I know. I've got it rough. But it is getting old living in the garage. The old 26 by 26 foot studio apartment. Looking forward to getting into the house. Starting to do some painting.
Yeah.
Yep, ceilings got painted on the main floor today.
So are we going to just
cabinets
go?
Cabinets tomorrow.
Are we going to go ahead and cancel the 40th birthday?
We're
going to
postpone it. We're not going to do it on the 15th. Right. I'm thinking about
sorry, tickets will still be good for next
tickets
year.
Tickets will still be good.
Yep.
But I need to finalize a date and get it on Facebook. Right. Isn't that the thing? Because I need to know how much food I need to get coming in for.
And if any caterers out there want to cater this meal, we could do it in trade for a sponsorship on this show.
Thinking.
I'm with you.
Yes.
Aaron's got a budget of
my
eyebrows are hitting the ceiling.
He's
$1.50 per person.
No. He's thinking $15-$20 a plate here.
No, I did. You know what I said per plate, and that is not what I said per plate.
$15-$20 That'll get you said, heavy appetizers.
No, probably. I said $10 to $15 a plate is what I hope.
Whoa. This is a bigger deal than your wedding.
Well, that, and I said the same thing.
By a long shot.
I said the same thing.
But nobody went home hungry at my wedding. You might go home hungry here. I don't know. Meat was a lot cheaper.
Should we bring a side?
Yes, bring a potato salad. Well, we should also maybe announce, just in case our winner like goes halfway through the episode and doesn't hear that they're a winner.
Congratulations to Jen Enema. We've got an iPad here with your name on it. Stop by Super High Tech. We'll take care of you because you take care of us and we appreciate you. So thank you and thanks to all of our listeners, our hundreds. We have literal hundreds of listeners
now.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
And I wanted to pull this up real quick, even though I know we're long. But
look at, you probably can't see this, Mitch, but we have listeners in the U.S., Ireland, Germany, Canada, Australia, the Netherlands, and Romania.
I'll sleep good tonight knowing that.
I'll sleep good tonight thanks to Coleman.
Sure. We want to give thanks for the month of July that Coleman Heating and Air, they brought us the DBA pod through July. You can upgrade to reliable, efficient comfort of a Coleman AC now to beat the heat that's coming this weekend. You can find your local Coleman dealer at ColemanAC.com.
Today. Join us again next time for another episode of Dutch by Association, a Northwest Iowa podcast.
Captain Kirk over here. Join us for another episode of Dutch by Association.
I'll take that as a compliment. Special thanks to our title sponsor, Super High Tech! Exclamation point. Have you socially distanced yourself from your phone permanently? Super High Tech in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center has the right replacement at the right price on the web at super-ht.com.
We appreciate every single one of you, despite what Aaron says.
Hey, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at all at DBA Pod. And if Wayne would ever follow through on anything he says he would do, we would be at dbapod.com.
And I'd someday be 50 pounds lighter. I mean, that's just put one foot in front of the other, okay? All right. Thanks again to everyone listening. Thanks again to those of you that did our like and share. And congratulations to Jen. And until next time, we are Dutch by Association.
And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, "Hey, what happened?" We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, "I don't think so." But it only lasted a year. And that's good because that's how you establish a cult.